Jesus is alive, right? That's good news. Good news for the world. Everybody needs to hear that good news. Jesus is alive. He's doing well. He's coming back soon. Are we ready for that? We need to get our neighbors and friends ready for the return of Jesus. I've also got a little bit more good news for you. And this is very minute good news. There are free pens out in the parlor for you. Okay. There's six different colors. There's only one problem. The guy that ordered them, me, got one number wrong. So as you're looking at that, it is going to look a little bit funny as you're looking at the pen. You're going to read there, 505-877-500. I tried to fix them. My little scribing pen did okay on about three or four. The other bunch is a little wiggly. But anyway, hand those out. Take them with you. Pray for me that I can be a better proofreader next time, okay? Are you having a good day? Do you like it when you get good news? How fast does good news spread in your circle? You know, there are some things that get your attention real quick. Back in Missouri, it was a small town, small community. And during the summer, we were in the middle of farm country. We had a bunch of produce farmers in the area that had all kinds of produce they would sell to the big companies in the area. But if those of you who raise vegetables, you know that all of them don't quite come out the way you really want them to look. And there's a lot of produce that gets pushed aside and basically thrown away if the producers, the grocery stores, all the shopping ladies and men that go to the store, they want that perfect-looking apple, that perfect-looking zucchini, and all those other things. There's a big pile sitting back on the farm that doesn't get used. Well, they had an arrangement with us that whatever they couldn't sell, we would had a bunch of people from the different churches. We would go gleaning. We would all put on our little Ruth bonnets. No, not really. But we went out to the farms and we picked up whatever they couldn't sell and what they weren't using. And we would bring it into town. And during tomato season, we would bring in truckloads, pickup loads of tomatoes. And we had a little organization downtown called Community Outreach, and we would stack those crates of tomatoes out front, and news would get out around town. Tomatoes at Community Outreach! And before the day was over, guess what? They were all gone. We'd go out and pick up truckloads of watermelons. And before the day was done, what happened? They're all gone. Taken care of, people picking them up, coming and getting that. Hey, good news. We got free food down there. Let's go. So that would happen on a regular basis. That was back in Missouri. But every once in a while, you get a little bit of good news around here, I hope. No? Yes? Once in a while? Yeah. Once in a while, occasionally. So it's always nice to have good news, isn't it? For many years, there was the discovery of gold. What would the discovery of gold do? It would create a gold rush. And all of the western states here in the United States have all had gold rushes at different times. And up where I was raised in Idaho, you can go up and see the remains of those gold rushes because thousands upon thousands of people, usually men, would take off to the gold fields to find their fortune. How many of them found their fortune? Very few. And a lot of people died as a result of going out and putting themselves in harm's way. A few people came out on top, but most people did not. Today, there are still over 10 million people who are out there in the gold fields, silver fields, different places, looking for their valuables that they haven't found yet, trying to make it big, trying to get rich, because they want that taste of that good news, that there are riches out there to be found. Have any of you been guilty? I mean, tried to do that? The message of the Bible is that Jesus Christ has conquered the cross, the grave, and he is what? He's alive. And he offers everybody life if we will follow him and walk with him. He wants to give all of us eternal life so that we can go with him to heaven. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. His life was not just limited to one little group of people, the 12 apostles, or just to the Jews. He has opened up salvation to all humanity. Jesus paid for how much sin? All sin. He took all the sin, the punishment for every person upon himself, paid for it at the cross, and he has conquered death itself. He gave himself to die, and then he took his life back again and came back from the grave. Do we believe this story? Do you believe it? How strongly do we believe it? Believe that the Lord is alive. This is what motivated the apostles and the first century church to spread the good news. There is hope beyond this world. There is life that lasts forever if you will just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Our text today comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. So let's read that passage real quickly, and you've heard this a form of it in various ways, maybe even two or three times today, but let's go ahead and read it again because it's good news. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, there from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him before he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We're going to stop there and just look at this briefly. Let's ask God's presence to be with us as we reflect upon these verses. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the good news that Jesus has conquered the grave. Not just for himself, but for all humanity. We thank you that he has paid the full price, the full punishment for our sins with his own death. We thank you for his power to conquer the grave, that you, Almighty God, have conquered the grave in our behalf so that we can have the promise of eternal life through Jesus. Help us to spread this good news. You've given us a commission. You've called for us to believe so much that we will live our life fully for you. And we pray that we will be your people constantly in a world that is desperate for answers, a world that is falling away from you. Help us to reach out with your love, your grace, your good news of life. Touch us here today. Empower us, move us, guide us in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to deal with is the believers of Christ are to preach the gospel. We are to preach the gospel if we are truly a believer in Christ. The gospel is good news. That's what the word means. Gospel means good news. The gospel is the delightful and desirable information that death can be and has been defeated by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus overpowered death for our benefit. At the birth of Jesus, the angel told the shepherds that there was good news. A Savior for all the people had been born in Bethlehem. Do you remember that just a few months ago? We went over that over it. How many times have you heard that message? Is it still good news? It is still good news. God sent the Savior just as He promised. The Savior for all people was foretold hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament, beginning with the very first act of sin back there in the book of Genesis. The Apostle Paul summarizes the gospel for us in 4 points in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul said, this is the gospel, the good news we are preaching. Number one, Christ, the Savior of humanity, died. Number two, what do you do with dead people? He was buried. Number three, what happened on the third morning? He rose. That's why we're here today, because Jesus arose. And number four, there were witnesses. Not just one or two witnesses, but many witnesses that Jesus was seen alive after that horrible crucifixion. I don't want to go into the gory details here. Some of you might not be very happy. But if you haven't considered what Jesus went through at crucifixion, do some reading on it. It was horrible what Jesus went through. How he even survived the scourging itself was a miracle. To stay alive, most people who were scourged by the Romans died in the process. Jesus survived that. He bore his cross, just like prophecy foretold. He was hung on the cross. He hung there for hours until he gave his life up. For who? For us. And the disciples were very familiar with crucifixion. You don't survive crucifixion. That's why they had trouble Sunday morning. Here come the gals saying, Jesus is alive. They couldn't believe it. They knew that all the mutilation that the body of Christ had gone through, and for them to actually see him alive, was a miracle in itself. The healing process that must have taken place for the new resurrected body, the glorified body of Jesus, for him to walk into the rooms, to appear in the rooms, and be present for them, was only by the power of God. Because who was Jesus? He was God incarnate in human flesh. And Jesus came to be with the disciples, to prove himself over and over again. I'm having trouble with my wire today. I don't have my suit coat on. Keep it in place. So you'll have to bear with me. Okay. Jesus Christ is which Savior for the world? He's the only Savior for the world. The only Savior who has given his life and restored it in order to restore our relationship with God. And how many people does Jesus want to have a relationship with God? All people. He loves all people. He is the creator of every single one of us. And he wants us to get in touch with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to have life everlasting with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says that God is not sending any other Savior. The apostles were put on trial, and they said, and the Jews tried to stop them from preaching Jesus, and they said, we cannot stop preaching. He is the only Savior. the only one. There are many false religions that permeate our world. Satan has deceived billions of people through false teachers like Confucius, like Buddha, like others. One of the things you need to know about the Islam religion, it is a combination of beliefs from Old Testament, New Testament, and the pagan religions of the day, 600 years after Jesus conquered the grave. Islam is a new religion compared to Christianity, and definitely Judaism. But it's a false one. It's a twisted perversion. It is not a message of peace. It's not a message of life. It's a message of death. And this is what we need to share with people, to realize that only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Another new religion that is very powerful today is Mormonism. Mormonism claims to be the only true message for humanity. Several years ago, their leading prophet was speaking in El Paso, and he stated about the Book of Mormon, he said, "This is the most correct book on the earth." Talking about the Book of Mormon. Well, that's a lie and a half, because they've had to do hundreds of renditions and changes in the Book of Mormon to bring it up to a standard that is readable today. And they don't tell you that. It's a lie. Lies come from who? Satan. And there are hundreds of variations of religions that are out there. Satan is doing all he can to deceive us. We must guard our hearts and our minds and stay true to the Bible, God's Word. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Amen? Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get tangled up here yet. Okay, here we go. Believers of Jesus must tell others about who? Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Let's stick with it. Believe in Him. Preach the gospel. Speak of your Savior. You are the one who has the message of life. You may be the only one who is speaking to the person that you do. You may be carrying the torch of life for them. Don't hold back. In love, share the message of hope of Jesus Christ. We can trust the message of the Bible. A lot of people are out there criticizing the Bible, but we can trust the Bible. It is the Bible. It is God's Word. It is a message of truth. Satan has been raising doubts about trusting God's Word ever since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were told, here's your rule. What did Satan do? Did God really say that? And ever since, Satan has always been asking, did God really say that? He's creating doubts in people's minds. And there are a lot of people out there today say, well, did God really say that? Is the Bible really true? Our text lists 14 eyewitnesses. Just in those short verses, 14 eyewitnesses saw Jesus in this text alone. If you go to a law court and are put on trial, how many witnesses do you need in order to bring a case to completion? Two or more? And just in these verses, we have 14. And they're not the only ones. The Apostle Paul makes a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says at one time there were over 500 people at one time who saw Jesus alive after his resurrection. And they were not the only ones. Remember that last guy who was trying to kill all the Christians? The Apostle Paul. Before he became an apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. And he was doing all he could to destroy the church. And Jesus personally appeared to him, reminded him, got his attention. And Saul had to reevaluate his whole life, his whole belief system, and he became a Christian. There are several people today, popular writers who were once atheists, who examined the evidence and have now become powerful evangelists, speakers, promoters that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Will we believe the evidence? The Bible claims to be God-breathed, so that the message, if it is from God who is perfect, shouldn't the message also be perfect if it came from the perfect one? We find out that as we read through the Scripture, it is unique in that it holds together as one message, a message that spans from the beginning of time until the end of time. The Bible was recorded. Now, there's different numbers that you hear. Some say it took 1,400 years to write the Bible. Some say up to 1,600 years. But we know it was a long time. There were over 40 different authors who wrote, some of them at the same time in different countries. Those writers were writing from three different continents. How in the world do they get their story together without cell phones, without computers? It's the message of who? God. And it is one message, consistent from beginning to end, centered on the need for a Savior. The Savior came and He's coming again. Are you ready? The Bible is historically and geographically correct. As the archaeologist Spades discover and uncover more buried ruins, the arguments of the critics have been proven wrong over and over and over again. God's word is true. Hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled. The greatest of that was the promise that a Redeemer would come. And who is the fulfillment of that redemption? Jesus Christ. He would pay for our sin. Jesus Himself fulfilled hundreds of prophecies with His life, death, burial, and resurrection. We can trust the Bible. It is true. The accuracy of the Bible remains unchanged. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered back in 1946. Some of you weren't alive yet. And it was an amazing discovery. Because in that collection, all but one of the Old Testament books was found. The critics were saying, well, the Old Testament was revised and made changes and adjusted in order to fit what actually happened. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found out that no, the message was not changed. The Dead Sea Scrolls date back to about 150 years before Jesus. And as a matter of fact, the book of Isaiah is called the Messianic book. An entire scroll of the book of Isaiah was found. And you can go to Jerusalem today. I forget what the place is called, but you can see that scroll rolled out in the museum. And if you knew how to read Hebrew, you would read the same message printed before Jesus came as what you read in your Old Testament today in the book of Isaiah. There are literally thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of fragments, complete scholarship manuscripts that verify that your scriptures are true. They were not changed. They remain the same. It is one message from God of your need for a Savior. The Savior came and He's coming back again. The message of Jesus will give, always gives hope and life to believers. We're here today because of the hope we have through Jesus Christ. Do you find the same hope through your neighbor? Through the governor? Through somebody over on the other side of the world today, as you find in Jesus? How many of them have beat death for you? None of them. Jesus is the only one who has conquered death, and he promises us that we can have life if we were put our trust in him fully and completely. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. My third point today that I want to touch on is Jesus commands those who believe in him to tell others. It's not an option. It's an order. Jesus commands those who believe in him to tell others about him. The disciples had to grow in their faith and confidence in Jesus. They weren't perfect at the beginning. We read it here. They doubted. They denied. And then Jesus appeared to them and says, "Why are you doubting? I promised you." How many promises does Jesus keep? All of them. He told them, "I'll raise on the third day." Don't you remember, guys? Oh, yeah, kind of. We didn't understand it, but now we see. "Thomas, put your hand here. Feel my hands. Feel my side." Wow, that's amazing. And they, from that point on, gave their lives to tell others about life in Jesus. We have the first three Gospels that give us a little bit of detail about what happened after Jesus raised from the dead. But we get probably double the information from the Gospel of John. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it records that Jesus repeatedly spent time instructing the apostles for those 40 days after his resurrection until he ascended up into heaven. Can you imagine seeing that, watching somebody you're talking to, and all of a sudden they start floating up into the clouds and disappear? And they just stood there with their mouths hanging open. And two angels appear and said, "Why are you staring in the clouds? Didn't Jesus give you some directions? Get back into town. Go do what you're supposed to do." And they got with it. They followed directions. How many of us are standing around with our mouth hanging open, not following directions? "I wonder what I should do." Well, do something. Don't just sit. Start with prayer, if nothing else, but then get busy and do what Jesus and his Spirit are leading you to do. All of us don't have the same work. We're all given different talents, different abilities, different circles of influence. And we must be his servants. Jesus died on the cross to pay for how many sins? All sins. Sins of every person, all people. We usually skip over part of the command that in the instructions that Jesus gives to us in John chapter 3. We start at verse 16. And most of us have that one pretty well under the belt. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do we know the next two verses? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." Yes. He wants to save the world. He doesn't want to judge the world. He wants us to be saved so that we can be saved through him. Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We got a lot of work to do. How many people in our community believe in Jesus Christ? Sally was watching a television program. She was telling me about it yesterday. One of these reporting television stations, they like to go out on the street and do on-the-street interviews with people. And they were going around and asking people, "What is this thing about Good Friday? What is Good Friday all about?" And Sally was telling me there was only one person out of all the people that they interviewed who understood what Good Friday was about. Today we are at Resurrection Sunday. Steve out there in the lobby was telling me, he posted on his phone, Facebook, Happy Resurrection Day. And a lot of people answered back, what's that? I thought it was Easter. I thought it was about rabbits and candy and bunnies and lions that try to pretend to be bunnies and all that. No, it's because Jesus conquered the grave. He gives us hope. He gives us life. How many people around us need to know that Jesus gives them life if they will believe in Him? There's a lot of people in our community, in our world, that need to hear. The first century disciples of Jesus did not believe at first. They had to grow in their faith. And maybe some of us are struggling with our faith. They got to see Him. They got to touch Him. We have to believe the message. But it's not one testimony. It's hundreds. Will we believe the evidence? Will we live based upon the evidence? The disciples of Jesus devoted their lives to spread the gospel even when it took their life. They were ready to go. Now, they thought they were ready to go before Jesus gave His life. Peter says, I'll die for you. And what did he do? Whack, whack, whack. Used a sword a couple times. Jesus said, stop. That's not the way I taught you. Put that sword away. And then Jesus healed the slave's ear that had been whacked off. Do you think Peter was trying to cut off the ear? He was probably aiming for something else, but wasn't quite skilled as he thought he was. And then when they take Jesus captive, what did the disciples do? They all ran. Jesus said, you will all desert me this very night. And they did. They said, no, we won't do that. Oh, yes, you will. And they did. But then they came back. In our text, it says, go tell Peter. Why Peter? Because Jesus told Peter, you know, before the night's over, before the cock crows twice, you will do what? Deny me three times. But take heart. When you come back, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. But there was hope for Peter because he would have a heart change. Didn't have to go to a doctor. He went to God. How many of us need to go to God? We need a heart change. I need to become more bold. I need to be your servant. Lead me. Guide me. Instruct me. Help me be your servant. The disciples of Jesus gave their lives in devotion, no matter what the cost. The message of life in Christ is now in our hands. What are we doing with the message of Jesus? The apostles are gone. The first century Christians are gone. Most of the people we knew 20, 30 years are gone. It's now in our hands. What's happening with the message? It's our responsibility. Jesus has charged us. I'm not telling you to go out and knock somebody's door down. Jesus called for us to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. In all things, live a life of love. How do we put that into play? Well, part of it's by reading the Scripture and following that example, but also staying in tune with the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, finding ways to share Jesus with the people around us. When Jesus went through Samaria, He stopped at a water well, sent the guys into town to get some food, and what happened while He was at the well? A woman who had been married 7 times and now living with guy number 8, came walking along, and that was taboo in the Jewish culture, but Jesus did what? He started talking to this strange woman, getting some water. Would you get me a drink? Yeah, I'll get you a drink. Boy, if you could just have some of the living water. What? What are you talking about? He found a way to get her attention. And we need to find ways to get the attention of the people around us in our everyday living. Boy, these cell phones, you know, sometimes they give us headaches. I'm sure glad I've got a perfect communication with my best friend. What are you talking about? I've heard of Twitter, I've heard of tweet, I've heard of... It's called prayer. I keep in touch with Jesus. He keeps in touch with me. There's an old song about that. I forgot part of the word, so I'm not going to harass you with it. Jesus died and rose again. Amen. He did so that we can live with Him. Amen. And we've got good news. Amen. Let's live for Him. Let's tell others about life in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you for hope. We thank you for promise. We thank you for the transformation that comes in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus. Inspire us, encourage us, motivate us to be your people so that others can find life too, that they can discover your blessings, not because of us, but because of your Spirit, because Jesus paid the price. Jesus conquered the grave. Let us honor and glorify you until He comes again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.